Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I go outside, open the door, nobody's out there. So I'm like, okay. So I goes in around the house, nobody's in there. And all of a sudden I hear, pow, 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 shots. And then pow, pow, and then stopped. And then one sounded really close, like a, you know, fireworks that comes in, flies to you, and then blows up right in front of you. It sounded like that, but it was echoing.
Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strasser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. And today, we're updating you on a devastating scene from the weekend where a former Marine allegedly put incendiary devices in his truck, added two American flags to the bed, drove into a church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, opened fire, and set the building ablaze. At least four people are dead, authorities said Monday. Here's the latest from WWJ News Radio in Detroit.
So I'm like, okay, I know the sound of the bullets. I collect guns, and I'm like, okay, that's not sounding like a fireworks. And all of a sudden, I hear two more, pow, pow, and then screams. People start screaming, and I'm like, I ran inside the house. I goes, that wasn't fireworks, or nobody knocked on the door. I said, that was a gunshot. I said, let's go. I said, we need to get out. I said, I need to see what's going on and see if I can help or whatever. So we get out. Police is already sirens, everything's coming in. I'm literally like a quarter of a mile. I goes in from the subdivision. By the time I turn around, I go outside there. Cops are everywhere. So I pull in right there. Now next door, there's a Jehovah's Witness church next door. So I pull in right there. We start looking, but the cops were so much in there that they didn't need no help. But I seen people dragged by their feet and their hands, like shot and put them on the grass, a couple bodies. And I got goosebumps. I'm sorry. I'm just so, this country, we're going crazy in here. We need God. We need Jesus. And I'm sorry. I got to take a second. Hold on a second. Oof. So fire departments and everybody else start flying by, coming in. And I just got out of the way, backed up, and took off. And just don't want to be interfering in their ways. But there was, the people were coming in from the fire. I seen the fire in the house and everything else, and there was going on, and people were just screaming and pulling bodies, and that was the end of it with me. Very sad, very, like I said again, I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it to everybody. We need God. We need Jesus in our life. We need this country. We need to get together, not left, right, wrong, right, just all of us as a human. Come together. Let's stick together, watch each other's back, because it's going crazy.
Not that there's any justification, but has there been anything that you've heard as to the why this church of all places would be targeted?
Not yet. Nothing yet. So I have not even peeped in there. So it's just been just nice church going people, nice people, and nobody deserved it.
Here's Grand Blanc Township Police Officer and Police Chief William Rainey.
Officers who were trained immediately responded to the area. One was a DNR officer, and then one was a Grand Blanc Township officer, where they met the suspect and they engaged in gunfire with that particular individual, neutralizing that suspect, and that suspect is no longer with us. As I said, it is a 40-year-old male from Burton. During all this incident as well, there was a fire that occurred, and we believed that that was deliberately set by the suspect. So where we go from here is we have investigators. We're going to do search warrants on the suspect's residence. We're going to find out if there was a motive. We're going to go through cell phone records, things like that. We had FBI, you know, they're devoting 100 agents to this area because, as you can imagine, there's a lot of witnesses that were within the church, and that is a lot of witness information statements that we have to obtain.
Rainey went on to say a couple of the victims are in critical condition. The rest are in stable condition. Governor Whitmer has provided a statement in response saying, "My heart is breaking for the Grand Blanc community. Violence anywhere, especially in a place of worship, is unacceptable. I'm grateful to the first responders who took action quickly." She says, "We will continue to monitor this situation and hold the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc closed."
County Sheriff Chris Swanson said police response to the incident was textbook, and there were heroes inside the congregation who used their bodies to shield younger, weaker members, kids, and the elderly. But many questions remain about the shooter and why he did what he did. The FBI described the attack as targeted violence and has since taken over the investigation. For those of you keeping score, that's three acts of mass violence in just recent weeks that the feds have had to take over, including conservative activist Charlie Kirk's murder, the shooting at a Minnesota Catholic school, and a shooting at an ICE office in Dallas, Texas. Here's the Grand Blanc sheriff with more.
Sheriff, obviously, very shocking. Can you give us kind of a state of the community right now?
You know, I think the whole country is in a sense of uncertainty, and there's this shroud of pressure. And when something like this happens, you know, you ask yourself, is this going to end? And I think I feel a lot of that, you know, from the people that we were with. And there's an antidote to that, and that is we have to cleave together and not divide and create sides. And I think the community is happening, you know, when this happens, but we got to continue that. The story that Charlie talked about, the donut shop, that's one of dozens and dozens and dozens of stories that are happening lifetime with people wanting to do something just to be a part of the help part of it. And that's what brings communities together. And so the more that happens, the more your listeners just say hi to somebody, give a hug to somebody, go do something nice to somebody, that all helps in the healing process.
And can you tell us a little bit about Grand Blanc and this community in particular? I know that in terms of being the Genesee County Sheriff, you oversee the entire county there. This is a fairly quiet town, isn't that correct?
Yeah, I graduated from Grand Blanc High School, class of 1990. I grew up there. I worked at McDonald's in Grand Blanc. And, you know, this is it's a beautiful community. Genesee County is a great community. And, you know, they have a lot to offer. And it was in the south side of Genesee County, next to another church and down the road from a Lutheran church, Mechanics Road. I grew up on the 8,000 block. I mean, I'm familiar with this whole area. You can't say it's going to happen in one area or not. That's why you prepare everywhere. You can't say it won't happen in my backyard or and this is an example of that. But nonetheless, the response was the same that you would have expected. And for people that know a first responder, that just reach out to them to give them a thanks today.
Well, Sheriff, the FBI is taking over the lead in the investigation right now. What is your department's role going forward, and what can you tell us about it?
So you're right. This is, as I said, it's layers of different resources. Not one agency has everything. And so we all work together. We plan for this. We've done it many times in the past. So because that's a federal investigation, you have, you know, the freedom of church and worship and religion, all those enter into the civil rights part of the federal investigation. Plus they have assets as well as the county, the state police, local. Those are happening as we speak. So we'll continue to work together. We now still have a scene that has to be processed. You have the picking up the pieces. They're working on, you know, a number of the investigative sides. But we all will continue to work together as the days go on. And in the end, we'll get back to, you know, a pattern where we're ready. And, you know, this is going to have some answers, but it's going to take some time.
Customarily, politicians send thoughts and prayers after mass shootings. But what do you say when people are shot while praying? Here's the Big K Morning Show in Pittsburgh.
We don't know if this is political. We don't know if this is political violence. We don't know if this is anti-Christian violence. You know, this story in Michigan near Flint, you know, which would be the Detroit news market, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hundreds of people just went to church on a Sunday morning. This guy rams his car into the doors, gets out, starts spraying the place with bullets. 5 dead so far. Several injured, and I guess some critically. And he lights the place on fire. It could have been way worse.
Yep.
Because the first 911 call, people reached for their cell phones as they were protecting and hugging kids so they wouldn't be murdered in a church, a place that is supposed to be sanctuary and innocent and good, where you worship. We just don't know enough. But all I'm saying is, in the last few years, attacks, mass shootings, attacks on churches. Look at Tree of Life. It's up 730%. This is very worrisome, and I go every Sunday. If I remember, you do too. I'm worried about this, and I can't help it.
There's a lot of people that love claiming to be American and do not love America. If you love America and you love the flag and you love our Constitution and you love our traditions, baked into that is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Now, I understand that the premise is that government will not prohibit those things. But inherently with that is, if government's not going to do it, the people, which, by the way, the government is for the people, by the people will not do that for each other as well. Too often we have conflicts that try to stifle freedom of speech, people that disagree with us, that see the world differently or live differently from us, and freedom of religion, people that worship differently from us, have different traditions from us.
And again, we don't know the motivation here. We don't. They're sifting through it. This guy had a child with very severe disabilities. He was married. Who knows, and he was in the Iraq War. He's 40 years old. Yep. I guess it is, you know, there was an extraordinary story about a Republican I really, really respect, the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox.
Okay.
It was extraordinary. And, you know, they mentioned that Steve Bannon called Spencer Cox a national embarrassment for trying to pull people together. And Spencer Cox is like, I don't have any interest in running for president. I wouldn't win one primary. He wouldn't, I guess. Because of
polarization.
He's kind of a Mitt Romney guy.
Polarization.
You know, but he just wants people to stop shooting each other, stop the political violence.
We have to redefine what political violence is. Because if political violence is only physical violence, but we're allowing the rhetorical violence, the verbal violence, to continue to escalate in a vulnerable society where critical thinking skills are going down, mental health woes are going up, and people are more isolated, you're going to have the physical violence. Everybody says they want to tone down the political violence. Nobody wants to tone down their rhetoric. Nobody wants to be unifying. It is constantly us versus them. You define who the us is, you define who the them is, and then we wonder why our country is in the condition that it's in. Look, we are falling slowly but surely from the inside out. There is not a threat internationally that's coming to these borders and taking us over from a traditional military threat.
That's a really good point.
But if you were an enemy of the United States, you would continue to foster this division from the inside out and say, I'm going to take their democracy and I'm going to use it against them and I'm going to destroy them from the inside out. And unfortunately, not enough of us in leadership, in media, in everyday American communities are wise enough to see what's happening to us and stop it. It takes some restraint, and it takes, again, loving America just as much as we love the freedoms of being an American.
And again, we don't know what motivated this veteran to get in his pickup truck. He had flags, twin flags in the back of the cab there, and back of the pickup truck, and he had incendiary devices. He lit the church on fire. We don't know the motivation. But all I'm saying is, little kids dressed up for church, and their parents and their grandparents and their friends, and I'm very close to, because of their service and some of the local food pantries that they help with, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're really wonderful people. They're hurting today. They are hurting.
And they feel isolated. They feel targeted. They feel like they are othered. And that is also something that's growing in America. This we used to talk about being a
melting pot. Did this guy pick a random church or their church? I mean, we don't even know that. That's what I'm saying.
No, we don't. But when it happens,
nonetheless,
but when it happens to you, it doesn't matter in the moment.
No.
It can happen at a Catholic church.
Yeah,
it can happen at a Baptist church.
Yeah, those little kids were murdered. I cried my eyes out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You feel targeted.
Here's my, that I had the question here earlier today. I don't want this to be true, but is it the case where we have to have a fob and buzz in to go to a church on Sunday? We never want that. I don't want armed guards. I don't want concrete barriers so a guy can't drive his pickup truck through the front doors of the church. But none of us want that.
I don't think we have to go to that, though. But, I mean, it does take... It takes a shift in leadership.
But it crosses people's minds that we might have to go to it.
And I'll take people back to the fact that we had all kind of assassinations in the 1960s. We had all kind of bombings in the 1970s. We had planes being hijacked and everything else. And by the time we got to the 1980s and the 84 Olympics, we were all USA. We were all red, white, and blue. The economy had turned around, and the Soviet Union was falling. So there are things that go through cycles if we're intentional about trying to get through this cycle in healing. Now, I'm not saying everything in the 80s was great, but I am saying that we went from the 1960s through the 1970s malaise and stagflation and the bombings and the hijackings and got to a better place in time in the 1980s that many, many people across this country saw as a renaissance of Americana.
We've endured a lot of mass shootings in the United States. But there's something even more terrible about violence in a place of worship. Here's Kyle and Company at WPHT Radio with more on that aspect.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Religion under attack. It's pretty obvious at this point that life is not valued, and more lives of those who are of faith have been lost. Is religion under attack? It's hard to say no, emphatically. From Charlie Kirk to a genocide of Christians in Nigeria to a church yesterday in Michigan. And think about the targets over the last 2 years. First, it was those that are Jewish. Then it's ICE agents. Now it's Christians in America and around the planet. Sometimes it's political, other times it's spiritual and religious. And yesterday in Grand Blanc, Michigan, a church was shot up, set on fire, and attacked. The gunman shot 11 people, killing 5, and was killed by police after ramming a truck into the church and also setting it on fire. A beautiful building on a beautiful Sunday, the site of unthinkable destruction and pure evil. And this place of worship was the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. Here's law enforcement. Listen and watch.
Officers who were trained immediately responded to the area. One was a DNR officer, and then one was a Grand Blanc Township officer, where they met the suspect and they engaged in gunfire with that particular individual, neutralizing that suspect. And that suspect is no longer with us. As I said, it is a 40-year-old male from Burton.
Attorney General Pam Bondi tweeting the following yesterday, quote, such violence at a place of worship is heartbreaking and chilling. Please join me in praying for the victims of this terrible tragedy. The FBI and ATF are on the scene. 47 posting the following on Truth Social yesterday, saying, quote, I have been briefed on the horrendous shooting that took place at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Michigan. The FBI was immediately on the scene and will be leading the federal investigation and providing full support to state and local officials. The suspect is dead, but there is still a lot to learn. This appears to be another targeted attack on Christians in the United States of America. The Trump administration will keep the public posted, as we always do. In the meantime, pray for the victims and their families. This epidemic of violence in our country must end immediately, end quote. And it must end around the globe as well. Christians are being eviscerated in Nigeria, legitimately wiped out in that country. The alleged killer in Michigan yesterday is Thomas Jacob Sanford. He's an Iraq War veteran, 40 years old, who served from 2004 until 2009. A motive remains unknown at this time. His political ideology is also not known. And this comes 18 days after Charlie Kirk was killed. The Christian faith is peaceful, with phrases such as, God loves us all and we're all God's children. Make it make sense and stop the political and religious violence.
So, if crime is cyclical and will emerge again on the other side of what feels like an endless cycle of mass shootings, how will we get there?
My name is Bonnie Perry, and I serve as the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Michigan, and I'm also President of End Gun Violence Michigan. And I'm here today just filled with anger and grief. And this is a grief that is overwhelming. Yesterday's shooting at Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc is reprehensible. We can presume that the shooter was angry. Certainly, he was violent. And there also may have been mental health issues involved, but what we know with complete and absolute certainty is that he had access to an assault style rifle. And the availability of firearms makes this type of crime heinous and commonplace in the United States of America and unthinkable in almost any other country in the world. Day after day, Americans shoot each other while our nation stands by and we watch gun companies make money and beloved children of God die. Enough. Right now, the Michigan legislature is debating how much to cut from gun violence prevention and mental health programs when we should be talking about how much more we can invest to save lives. What's it going to take for people of faith and people of goodwill to come together and to create common sense gun culture? What's it going to take? Well, I think it's going to take a faith in God and reconciling all people, and it's going to take you.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.